I'm living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews on the Black Guy Who Tips Premium Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rod. I am joined by Karen.
How y'all doing?
Very, very skeleton crew today. But we wanted to knock out these reviews because we've been seeing a lot of movies, and you guys deserve to get your reviews from us so you can know to go see them or not.
Yes.
Spoiled Movie Reviews, of course, is for people who've seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, or just don't give a fuck about spoilers because we spoil everything, all right? Rama kills everybody. I don't even know how to spoil Raid 2. I mean, don't y'all already know that it's going to be, you know, what it's going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, The Raid 2 is a sequel to the original, The Raid movie. It's called The Raid 2 Berendahl. And, it's a bigger film, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
But at the same time, it keeps that same tight feel to it, that same action, like feeling like every scene is just moving you forward to another showdown.
Yes, sir.
The storyline is this. He thought it was over after fighting his way out of a building filled with gangsters and madmen, a fight that left the bodies of police and gangsters alike piled in the halls. Rookie Jakarta cop Rama thought it was done and he could resume a normal life. He couldn't have been more wrong. Formidable though they may have been, Rama's opponents in that fateful building were nothing more than small fish swimming in a pond much larger than he ever dreamed possible. And his triumph over the small fish have attracted attention of the predator's father of the food chain. His family at risk, Rama has only one choice to protect his infant son and wife. He must go undercover to enter the criminal underworld himself and climb through the hierarchy of competing forces until it leads to him to the corrupt politicians and police pulling the strings at the top of the heap. And so Rama begins a new odyssey of violence, a journey that will force him to set aside his own life and history and take on all these motherfuckers. All right, listen. Let's talk about what didn't work for the film first, because we keep it simple here. We do what worked, what didn't work, and then we do, a rating for More Epic Than Love Jones from 0 to 5. 0 being man, fuck you. 5 being the fuck you waiting for. Go see this shit. Karen, what didn't work for you?
Only thing that didn't work, and I don't want to say it's a negative, is that, and to an extent I understand, and it's probably because we had other arrangements, it was long, a lot longer than I thought it was going to be, but that's not really a complaint. It's just for the fact that the time went by so fast, so you don't really realize how long it is. So if you're going to go see it, just block out about 3 hours of your time, because it's like a 2.5 hour long movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of my only complaint. That's not really a complaint. It's just for the fact that we're going to see it. We thought it was going to be like an hour, hour and a half. So this one is a lot longer than the first one.
Yeah, it's like 2 hours and 20 minutes, basically.
Mm-hmm. It's worth every minute. Or
actually, 2 hours and 30 minutes, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, so you're right. It is a very long movie, I think, for an action movie.
Yes.
Because I feel like when you watch an action movie, you're thinking 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours.
Yeah.
Once you get into 2.5 hour territory, a lot of times you start losing people.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say, yes, it was very long. I thought one of the things that hurt the movie to me was, I didn't care as much about the criminal workings as far as the relationships between the Japanese and the, local gangs and all this shit, and what cops were corrupt at the top and who was the commissioner and all this shit. That stuff didn't matter to me as much because you just know that those people are just going to end up dead.
True.
You know, there's never going to, you know, it's not like the point is they're like, because you know, they're going to end up dead. It's almost like who really gives a fuck about them sitting down and eating dinner together? Cause no fighting is going to happen and it's taking more time from the fight.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, let's talk about what did work, because you know I feel like when you see this movie, those are very small complaints, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think they did some of that stuff to add to the pacing of the film, because if you're going to be doing something for 2.5 hours, they don't want you to get so desensitized to violence that you're actually sitting up there like, okay, I'm bored by the fight now, you know?
True.
So you got to put something between it. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what did work. Karen, we'll just go back and forth on this, the last one. What did work for you?
The main character.
Rama.
Yes. It was just so, because at the beginning, you actually need to see the right one in order to kind of understand the beginning. Because at the end, they actually make it and they take them away. And at the very beginning, they basically shoot the two dudes that survived the whole first ordeal with him. Like, they instantly die.
Yeah.
And then he actually goes kind of undercover. And
now, I will say, not to throw you off too much, but I don't think you need to see the Raid 1.
Okay.
I think it matters a little bit more if you do. But
yeah,
they actually kind of explain it in the movie for the Raid 2. Like, they killed your brother, and then the other dude that survived, they take him out and kill him right away. So, you know, or no, don't they say they're going to get him healed, but then he ends up dying like not too many minutes after that, and they go to his funeral. So at that point, you realize he's all alone in this. But go ahead, Karen. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think for me, with me seeing it, it kind of meant more. But no, it's not mandatory. I like the fact that he's talking to a dude, end up going undercover, and I like the way that he basically saved the dude's life in order to get into the clan. And what was just so fucked up, something that was supposed to be 6 months end up being like 2.5, 2, 3 years later.
Yeah, well, you're going through the plot. You said you like him as a character. What about him as a character?
To me, it showed his commitment to his family, because a lot of that he did to protect his family. Mm-hmm. A lot of it he did for the love of his child and the love of his wife, because he knew that if he went back home, they were going to find him and they were going to kill him, his wife and his family. And I think that he felt like his violence was, and killing these people were necessary, because if he hadn't, he felt like they would have taken everything he had.
Yeah, I love everything about the character of Rama and what he's willing to do. I like, and I just love the genre of the undercover, like, action cop movie, where it's like, I'm undercover as a bad guy, but I'm trying not to lose my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that he never really bought into the lifestyle. They didn't do the cliche loyalty thing where it's like, oh, now he's starting to really like these people and he wants to be a bad guy and all this stuff. They have another cop in the movie who is, Eka, I believe is his name. He's a henchman to the bad guy, but it turns out that he went in there as an undercover cop and got lost in the world and just stayed as a bad guy.
True.
You know, so there's stuff like that where, I love his conviction, and the actor, Iko Uwais, I believe is how you pronounce it. He's so great at portraying just being the embodiment of aggression.
Mm-hmm.
Like the opening scene in this where they're showing the flashbacks, where he's just sitting in a bathroom stall, which is, you know, people trying to get in on the outside. You know, he's about to get in a fight, and he's just sitting in the stall, you know, tensing up, legs kind of shaking. His face is zooming in on his face and just like how aggressive and like prepared he's ready to fight. Like that shit is just so dope. And he's like, he kills that. There's a scene where he just makes a phone call to his superior officer and to his wife, and there's like drums beating in the background, and even the phone call is intense.
Yeah, there was also a scene where there was like a sketch of a human body. He just began to punch the wall.
Yes,
and that shit was intense.
Right, everything he does is intensity.
Yes,
it's just him being intense. That's the whole movie. It'll give you a headache. It's so intense. A thing that worked for me, we'll get the obvious things out the way, the action.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting choreography, just as brilliant as the first movie. The setups for the action is almost even better than the first one. Because
mm-hmm.
the setup for the action in this one, you know, they have to come up with more reasons because, you know, this isn't an this isn't one building where you're trapped in it. This is life, and at any point you could choose to leave, you could do some other things, but this shit is more like, okay, these people are coming to fuck you up, these people are gonna do that, we need to go over here. And they do the action so well. The prison fight scene in the mud,
which was great.
Yeah, it was amazing because it felt like almost like watching a football game or, you know, or rugby, because everybody's running through the mud, but then there's like these intense fight scenes where, you know, people are doing all kinds of stuff, and it's very brutal.
Yes, yes. And his awareness and alertness, I like too. And like I said, is that attentiveness? Like, he looked, somebody did something. Next thing you know, he's pulling the broomstick off. He was like, oh shit, they're coming to get him.
And when there's like 30 people having a free for all, that's hard shit to choreograph without people going, wait, what happened? Wait, who's doing this? But I never really felt like I didn't know what was happening in some of these action scenes where I'm like, that guy is, you know, the one who's trying to stab, his boy Uko. This guy right here had the shank, and they did a good job, like, following that stuff. And like, there's so many good action scenes. There's a car chase scene. There's, the fights, the last like 20 minutes of fights are just amazing, but
yes,
the action just, as always, stands above and beyond anything that you can do really in America. And I feel like, one, these dudes must actually know this shit. And two, you probably can go to Indonesia and they don't have labor laws, so you can just kill a couple people, and it'll be fine. So they probably just, you know, hey, this guy broke his neck, oh well, throw him in the trash.
Yeah, it's not the same. Like Roger said, the bathroom scene was amazing, because like I said, sitting there, and it's what, like Roger said, it's one of those intense things where so many people beating on the door, and they actually were showing the little hinge just shaking and rocking. And
yeah, they shook the screw out of the hinge. It was shaking so hard.
Yes, and when the door opened up, you was like, oh shit, it's on. And it was one of those things where he was just really fucking people up. And also, the dude with the long hair, I don't remember his name.
With the long hair. Who played Mad Dog in the first movie?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
His scene was a beast too, because he showed up with the machete and like five people took him out but using one hand.
Yeah, yeah. All the action scenes were crazy. And like, yeah, his name is Jayan Ruhian. And in the first, the Ray, he played Mad Dog, and this one he played Precoso. But yeah, he, like, the thing is, these motherfuckers are just fucking each other up so hard for so long. Like, you get tired. And in this movie, he really didn't have a lot to do with, like, he was, like, they basically used him as a prop for the plot, but you just knew that they're doing this so they can get a badass action scene.
Yes, it was so worth it.
We just need a reason to watch him fight for 10 minutes. And that's basically what we got.
Yeah, because,
and they add some bullshit about like his family and shit, but no one cares about that.
Oh, no.
So that was one of those things I was talking about earlier where I was like,
oh, okay. And it ended up stretching the
movie. Yeah. If they didn't have that, I wouldn't have gave a fuck. It doesn't hurt the movie too bad, because I think it's an excuse for you not to be watching fighting for 5 minutes so you can be ready to watch some fighting in 5 minutes. But yeah, it was shit like that where I was like, I don't care.
That's true. But I clear that bar scene he had. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, and part of the action, I would even say the scale and the scope of the fights is just much bigger.
A lot larger.
Because you're not in a tight enclosed apartment building. You're now out in the world and you can fight on 7 levels of a club.
True.
You know what I mean? You can fight all the way up and down an elevator or whatever. You know, like there's just, you can fight, you can get in a car chase and fight, you know, through the road. Like that's the thing. They wanted to make this movie bigger, badder, and bolder, and they did.
Yes, they did.
You know, something I did not think was gonna be possible, really, because of, you know, the first movie's so good to me. I own it on Blu-ray. You know, this is a endearing movie, but they were actually able to say, hey, what if we make this a bigger affair and keep the same intensity? And they were able to do it.
Yes, they were.
Anything else that worked for you, Karen?
Yes, the character that played the Bat Boy and the Hammer Girl.
Yes.
Those two were some, I think, from my understanding, they were brother and sister.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's funny.
Cousins of family.
Well, some people say they're lovers. They don't really explain what the deal is.
Okay.
She's deaf. She's Hammer Girl.
Mm-hmm.
These are the names in the thing. Alicia / Hammer Girl. I don't think we ever hear it referred to as Alicia, by the way.
Mm-mm.
But in the movie, unless maybe she played another character named Alicia or something,
okay.
But they're known as Hammer Girl and Baseball Batman.
That's all I know. That's
we don't
all.
Even need to know the rest.
Nope.
And the other dude that was with them too, the one who knocked Rama out upstairs, like he was a badass too, with the knives.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing about it, the baseball dude, he was a beast. He literally beat somebody to death with a bat. And, man, she hammered humans like they were goddamn nails. She was fucking shit up.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the bus, too. It was something else to watch and see. And it was funny, though, because when she started walking towards the dude that was a target with the hammers, and like his crew popped out, all of a sudden everybody ran to the next train. I was like, what the fuck is running to the next train gonna do if the fight moves over there? But it was just funny, like it's the little funny things that happened, and the watching him beat those two and beat the final person.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like watching somebody play street fighter, and you'd be like, fight level one, fight level two, fight level three. That's how I felt as he began to fight people. It became more complex and more complex, and it was, if you like great action and great choreography, it's worth every dollar.
Yeah. That the thing is, like, the last 20 minutes are almost like a different movie.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of action between the Hammer Girl fight with Baseball Batman and the assassin.
Mm-hmm.
The fight with the assassin in the kitchen is literally one of the best fights I've ever seen in my life. It is up there with him and his brother fighting Mad Dog in the first one, because it's like, and you would think like, well, this one won't be as good because they don't have as many gimmicks. Like, the other one, you have the baseball bat and you have the hammers. This one was like, at first, it's just them doing kung fu to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually even more intense. Like, they show it in the trailer where they kind of linking up hands and, like, getting their feet, like, set so they can fight each other. And it even starts as, like, a little short spar, like, you know, almost like in kung fu, in karate matches where they're counting points, where it's like, okay, you got a point. Okay, you got a point.
Yeah.
Okay, you got a point. And then at some point it just takes off into, I'm going to murderize you, and no one breaks it up. It's right in the kitchen. The thing that makes Rama such a good actor in these action scenes, there's a visceralness to this where you start to doubt if he's going to live.
Yes.
And that is the key to these movies. How can you trick me into thinking, oh wait, maybe he dies?
Yeah, because that fight was brutal, and the most hilarious thing about that was for the fact when he walked into the kitchen, I was like, oh shit, the kitchen about to attack him. The people was like, shit, they paid me $5.25 an hour. I'm out, like the whole kitchen clear. And that's, to me, that's what made the beginning of the scene very funny, because normally he walks into a room and everybody want to fuck him up. This was one scene, they was like, nope, I don't got time for this.
That's another thing I was going to bring up. There's a ton of comedy beats in this. Subtle but funny, dark comedy obviously, but it's a lot of people running out of the way. Even the very last scene, even after he fights everybody and gets, you know, like all this stuff, gets shot, all this shit, the very last scene he walks out and a room full of other gangsters are running into the building to try to kill everybody, and basically he's like, hey, I'm good. I don't want to fight anymore. Yeah. Can I just leave? And they're like, okay. Like that, but that scene is so funny because you keep going, is he going to have to fight 75 motherfuckers?
Yes. He was like, look, this is what happened. I killed everybody. I'm good. No, I won't join your gang. I won't get my ass back to my wife.
And the thing is, I still think he could have took him
You know? Me too.
He was just that badass, even with a gunshot in him. I was like, maybe he got this. So what else? Anything else that worked for you, Karen?
I think that it, the biggest part is action, 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 more action, a lot of stabbing. It is.
I'll tell you what, another thing that worked for me. The guy who played Uko, the young upstart who didn't really have respect for his father.
Yeah.
And wanted to take over the mission. Like, that dude was so good, and the way they portrayed him in this movie was perfect. Because at first, you meet him in prison and you're like, oh, look at this pretty boy. You get out of prison, you see him collecting debts and all this stuff for his father, and that he obviously wants to advance. And at first, I sympathize with him. You know, I was like, you know, he's seems like a pretty on the up and up guy as far as, you know, his relationship to Rama. Like, he seemed like, hey, you saved my life. We're cool. And then you see him spiral out of control. Once his father says, no, I'm not going to help promote you yet. I need you to stay on collections. You see him change where he's, you know, they go out. He harassed these girls in this club, mm-hmm. That were paid to do karaoke with him. He, you know, it's like, damn, they're going to choke one of them. He tells Rama that, hey, you wouldn't even be here. When we're done with you, my father's going to throw you out anyway when the favor's paid up. Like, it's just a ton of stuff where it's like, man, this guy's actually a bad guy when it culminates in him really killing his father, and shooting his, the second in command for his father. You really get this moment where you're like, oh man, I guess this guy can't be saved. He's a piece of shit too.
Yes, and he ends up having like a business meeting with like one of the main dirtbags of the movie, and end up talking to him and cutting people's throats the same time they're having a business meeting.
Yeah, Bejo is the dude he's having a meeting with, and yeah, and even in that scene, you're like, well, I guess he's more cold blooded than I thought. Even though he was, but you were in my mind. I can't speak for you. I was justifying it because I was like, well, these dudes were the ones that tried to kill him in prison.
Me too.
But he puts together at the end through the tattoos on their hands. Apparently these guys have been in cahoots together all the time.
Yeah, to basically destroy his
family. Yeah, this is all a setup to make him feel that he needed more, you know, power in his thing to endear him with the bad guy, Bejo, and his gang. And he did it and got played like a sucker.
Yes, and also I think he ended up finding the microphone that Rama had put on him, mm-hmm. and he thought it was that cop that was in there talking to dude.
Yeah,
and like that's when he snapped. He went in and he got a gun and basically just blew him away. And you know, it was one of the things where I was like, oh, he don't realize that Rama did that, but it don't matter at this time as far as he's concerned. He felt like he was betrayed. And it was one of those things where it's very violent because the main dude, he like blew his head off, and it didn't you know how sometimes when you see certain gunshots how it turns the camera away, you saw but his face get blown completely off.
Yeah, that was really graphic. Like, but at that point, what had you not seen? That's right?
That's true.
But yeah, and that was funny too, because the dude who played Bejo was good.
Yes.
You know that speech you gave about how, like, you know, ambition getting his brother killed and all this stuff. And like, I enjoyed that. And I, you know, and I liked that there was a villain that didn't fight. You know, he had a cane, obviously some type of disability, wore shades all the time and mm-hmm. gloves. Like, I actually enjoyed that character. So yeah, I would, you know, and then of course the car chase choreography was great. I think that's about it for me, man, of all the things I enjoy, but I hope that was a ton for you guys, because it was, like I said, it was a ton for us when we watched it.
Yes, it was.
So, what would you give it? 0 to 5?
A 5.
All right. I gotta go with 5 too. Fuck you. Wait. Actually, I gotta go with 6, man. I left this movie and just, it felt perfect. You know, we watched it with Asian Chris mm-hmm. and, yelling at the screen. And, I mean, by the time I got to the end, I was leaning forward almost out of my seat, just anticipating the visceral fight scenes. And I think that's something you just don't get often, you know, that feeling.
No, you don't. And it was a few times I messed around. I was like, oh, all out loud, like, because it was one of those things where you're just watching the screen and you're like, oh my goodness, am I seeing what I'm seeing?
Yeah, so I would have to give it 6 out of 5 Kev Tears. I'm going to own it on Blu-ray as soon as it comes out. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I saw it after Captain America, because it probably would have dampened how I felt about Captain America, because this movie just hit everything out the park all the way.
That's true.
So until next time, this is another episode of Spoiler Movie Reviews on the Black Autist Premium Podcast Network. Thank you so much for checking us out and supporting the show. We will talk to you guys again soon. Peace.
Get your act together. My life's a movie. I leave you in that act forever.
My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie.